Hey, man, I just saw CJ and Sydney just walk in. So I just want to... I know, maybe I shouldn't have done that right now. I didn't want to point out that you guys came in late or anything like that. Please, it wasn't like that. I just really want to welcome you guys back. You know, they got married, what is it now? Three weeks ago. And they went, yeah, amen. And then they went to the best place on earth for their honeymoon. That it was Jamaica. They went to Jamaica for their honeymoon, and I hope that you guys had a fantastic, fantastic time in Jamaica. It's really good to see you guys. Man, I tell you, they are actually the same age that me and Angela was when we got married. 22 years old. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, when I look at them, I see me, you know, at 22. I was mature at 22. I thought I was. until I actually got into my marriage, and then I realized, oh boy, you've got a lot to work on, a lot to work on. But it's a journey, you know, and the Lord, I know, will be with each and every single one of us with whatever endeavors that we do go on. But this morning, we'll be continuing in the book of John, okay, and we'll be looking at the friendship of God. I'm not sure what you guys think of when you think about the friendship of God. You know, whether you see God is a friend or not. You know, and in the world, it's not something that people, or even sometimes us, it's not something that we think of, that God is actually a friend towards us. And this morning, you know, we're going to be looking at, the cost of worship, the cost of discipleship, and the cost of lordship. And we're going to see how the friendship of God plays into each of these points. But the friendship of God, what is the first thing that you think of, you know, when you think about the friendship of God? You know, I know for me, I think about love. You know, because whenever I have a friend, I have a close friend, you know, there's a connection. There's a love, you know, that you have for that close friend, you know. But I absolutely think about that, you know, that God is love. But one thing, though, that we need to remember, you know, is that God wants a friendship with each and every single one of us. So the first point, the cost of worship. Let us turn. I don't have the scriptures up there today. So we can use our Bibles, or we can use our the phone. Yes, or we can use the Bible on our phones. I remember, you know, there was a time whenever you had phones in church, it wasn't a cool thing, you know. And I actually remember there was one guy that came out one time that he was looking around and was wondering, why is everybody on their phone? You know, and he literally took his walking stick and hit the person and just goes, get off your phone. But the person was on their Bible. He didn't know that. You know, it was an elderly. But, you know, but it's amazing, though, that we can have this, you know, and we can get all the different translations and all the awesome stuff that are available to us in these days. So let's go to John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to be looking at Mary this morning. Okay, first look at Mary. Mary is a very, very, okay, it's up there. Man, you guys work miracles. But Mary is a very, very inspiring woman. You know, and I really want the ladies to be encouraged this morning, okay? Because in this world that we live in, you know, women go through so much. Woman is looked at as less than. But we see Jesus never treated woman like that. In a matter of fact, the Bible says there's neither male nor female. When God created them, he created them male and female. You know, but it's amazing, though, just to look into the scriptures and to actually see, man, that there's a whole story about her. and about the family, you know, Lazarus and Martha, you know, and we see how incredible her faith was. You know, so that's what we're going to look at this morning. You know, all of us needs to be encouraged by it, you know, but I just really wanted to point that out, you know, because in this world, you know, as Christians, we are to be different towards the female as males. You know, they are equal to us. And that's how God designed it. Amen? So let's be inspired by Mary this morning. It says, 6 days later, the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. My goodness, could you imagine that? A year's wage. I don't know if there's any perfume now that's worth a year's wage, but that's some expensive perfume at the time. And it says here that he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Wow, eh? Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also because they wanted to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For an account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Wow. They even wanted to kill Lazarus again. maybe they wanted to see just do another miracle, you know, to convince them more. You know, but in this verse, you know, we see that Mary took a very, very expensive jar of perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet. You know, when you think about somebody being anointed, you know, it is never really their feet. You know, it's usually the head. You know, and here we see Mary taking a posture of humility, you know, and pouring the perfume on Jesus' feet. You know, she literally humbled herself and poured the perfume on her feet. And as the scripture said, it was not the cheap stuff, you know, but it was the most expensive perfume. You know, we also see that it was also very scandalous when you really look into it, you know, for her to do something like that, for her to literally bend down at his feet and then wiping her feet with her hair. You know, it's not something that a woman would do. And I would say that even in our day, it is not something that a woman would do, you know? They just would not do that. They would just not go to somebody and pour perfume and then wipe the feet with their hair. Even in our day, would be like, what are you doing? That's not proper. You know, but we see that Mary, she didn't care. She did not care. She didn't care about what they thought, how they would perceive her. You know, but she, and you know, she actually wept. You know, she wept, and with the tears, she wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. You know, but again, you know, sometimes we have a hard time to think, why was Mary even weeping? You know, why was she weeping? I asked myself that question. I wonder why she was crying like that. You know, there were so many tears You know, she was worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And there were so many tears, so much tears, that she could literally wipe his feet. You know, amazing. But I think about myself, and I think about how I respond to the cross. Mary, she was crying for a reason. And I'm telling you, I remember when I was studying the Bible with Gregory. I'm not sure. I can't remember what year that was. 2012 or something like that, or 2010, something. 2011. There you go. Rose remembers. You see, she remembers. Very, very, very special time when I invited my brother out to church. And then he said, yeah, you know what? I've been looking for something. You know, I've been trying to find it in money and all these other things. And I remember he came out to church, you know, and then he says, wow, man, this is exactly what I've been looking for. I think this is it. And Rose wasn't brave enough to come out yet. And then I said to Gregory, go home. It's almost like something like Jesus would say. I just said, go home and tell your wife what you've seen. No. Yeah, but I literally tell him, go home, tell your wife how awesome the service was, and then I'll see you both next week. And then the next week, both of them was out. And then the story is there, you know? It's amazing. True, true friends. But you see, I remember when I got to the cross study. My gosh. I didn't know that I had this in me. I didn't know that I could actually cry. That was the first time. I was like, what is going on? I could not get through the study. I remember Howard was there. Dwayne was there. And I was reading through the crucifixion. And I was just weeping. Because all that was in my mind was, my gosh, look what my sin has done to Jesus. Look what he went through for me, for all of us. And it hit me. And I could not keep myself together. It was embarrassing. Maybe I shouldn't have reminded anybody about that. But it was embarrassing, you know. At first I thought it was embarrassing. But after that I said, good for you, Wayne. Good for you. You're learning how to identify, you know, with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Because before, you know, I mean, if you didn't know me, I was, you know, a little tough guy, right? Little rough guy, you know, had muscles and...
Did you?
Yes, I did. Had muscles. Back then, I was, anybody who wanted the... to be moved or something heavy to be moved, they said, hey, get Wayne. get Wayne. Because they knew that I was very, very strong and I could get the job done. But don't ask me now, I've lost it all. I've lost all my hair, I'm like Samson, you know? I lost all my strength. Yeah, but it's just, you know, amazing. You know, I identified, and I could not stop crying. It doesn't matter what I did, I literally, and even to this day, I have to get somebody else to read it. I can't read it. Or I cannot look at, say, for instance, the movie, The Passion of the Christ. I can watch it, but I am bawling. I cry over everything. What is going on with me? I cry over everything, but I'm glad that I'm there. It was a wonder. It's wonderful that I can cry. And Mary, in verse 7, what did Jesus say to her? He says, leave her alone. Because this was intended for my burial. The intention between her and Jesus, that's how close their friendship was. My goodness. The Bible says that Jesus loved them. And they had such a close friendship. And Jesus said, this was intended for my burial. It wasn't supposed to be even for this. But somehow Mary was moved. And she goes, you know what? No, I'm not going to save it for your burial. I'm going to anoint you now while you are alive. And she literally got down on her knees, humbled herself. She humbled herself. Amazing. What friendship. Think about the friendship that they had. You know, this same Mary, who her own sister was saying, Lord, she's there listening to you. She's just at your feet. She's doing nothing. She's not helping me to prepare anything. And all she's doing, Lord Jesus, don't you see? All she is doing is sitting there and listening to you. Very, very special woman. She even knew something that even the disciples was still confused about. They didn't understand anything about the resurrection, but Mary did. She understood it. And Jesus says, look, it's between me and her. This was supposed to be for my burial. But for some reason, she was moved. And Jesus didn't tell her, no, don't do it. Save it for my burial. He accepted it. He accepted her posture. And he said, leave her alone. Very, very special woman. You know, but are you like Mary this morning? Do you worship like Mary? Are we like Mary this morning? Do you give to God your most expensive perfume? Do you give to God your best? Or do you give to God your cheapest of perfume? The one that you receive perhaps from the dollar store. That is cheap. And in fact, actually, do they sell perfumes at the dollar store? They must. I think they sell everything. but it's, you know, do we give to God our best? You know, and I know for myself, it really is a struggle, guys. It's a struggle. And as I am getting older, man, believe me, wow, it is tough. You know, sometimes I come home and I'm just like, I'm just spent. And I got no more to give. I feel like I got no more to give. You know, but as my wife says, that's not you, Wayne. She goes, you are so tired, but yet you pick up the phone and you contact somebody and you're speaking with somebody. You know, but that's a challenge, you know, but that's always a challenge, you know, is to give God my best. And as I'm getting older, that I don't stop doing what I did at the beginning. You know, when I at the beginning of my Christianity, man, I was a fireball, man. I was a fireball. We don't use that word anymore. zealous, fireball, zealous, always sharing my faith. I remember Rob sharing a story one time. He used to go on the subway, shared his faith with people. I used to be the same way, bold. You know, but again, you know, we need to learn from Mary and give God our best. Amen? Very, 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 very special woman. And a matter of fact, a very, very special family. You know, they all had this incredible, incredible friendship with Jesus. You know, so we see that God desires, you know, worship from us, but he's our friend. Okay, he is really our friend. You know, Jesus' relationship with that family is just parallel towards our relationship with God. He really is our friend. A loving, loving relationship with the Father. Amen? Next one, the cost. The cost of discipleship. In John chapter 12, in verses 20. Let's go to verse 20. It says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Very powerful. Do we believe that? Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very hour I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is a time for judgment to come on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard that from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus said, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light." And when he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. The cost of discipleship. You know, I pray that this morning that we will remember our calling. You know, we all have our calling from God. You know, to die to ourselves daily, and to take up our cross daily. And again, you know, how often do we remember that we need to die to ourselves and to take up our cross daily? You know, we are the kernel of wheat that needs to fall to the ground. Amen? You know, in John chapter 15, in verse 13, you know, we will see, you know, that Jesus teaches that discipleship is friendship. John chapter 15 and verse 13 through 15. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So here we see Jesus, you know, saying that we are now friends. Before they were servants, but when they knew what God expected of them, he said, "Okay, you're no longer servants." He said, "You're a friend now because you know the master's business." And who of us would say that we know the master's business? You know, most of us, we would say, "Yeah, I know some of it, but perhaps I don't know all of it." What is the master's business? You know, again, you know, Jesus calls us, you know, to discipleship through friendship with him. You know, and we hear, you know, Jesus says, he uses the words, you know, like command. You know, he uses the word command, you know, but the word command doesn't necessarily mean what it means in English as we know it. You know, it means to walk alongside in a loving relationship. You know, so when God says, you know, when the Bible says that God commanded, really what God is doing? He's so loving. What he's doing? He's actually saying, walk alongside me in a loving relationship, in a friendship with him. You know, totally, totally amazing. You know, sometimes we think that God is like, you know, bang, you know, he's far out there, but he's so close. You know, and he wants a loving relationship with us, but we should not forget our discipleship. You know, very, very important. You know, we are disciples of Jesus. You know, and he's our master, he's our Lord, but we're also a friend. You know, and you know, what is the master's business? It's a lot of things. You know, but our discipleship to Jesus and God the Father is not a solo journey. Okay, we need to remember that. There are, in this day and age, there's a lot of people actually who's going back to church. There's a lot of people who has given up going to church before, and there's a lot of people going back. And they said that a lot of the people who are going back are actually young, single men. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. It is. It's awesome, though. Young, that is young, single men that are actually seeking out a relationship with God. For some reason, they're stopping and they're just like, this isn't making sense anymore. You know, it's like a brother that was here, and he was an atheist at one point. And then I was studying the Bible with him, and I said, how did you change? And he goes, I don't know. Just one day, I just said, what kind of foolishness do I believe that there's no God? Just like that. See, this is why we need to pray for people. You never know what's going to happen in their life. You never know what miracle God is going to do. God never stops. He wants to be our friend. He truly does. You know, but it is not our discipleship. It's not solo. It's very, very important, brothers and sisters. And all those who are listening online, very, very important for us to be together in community. I can't stress this anymore. Very important. There's no reason why, you know, we cannot meet at least one time a week together so that we can encourage one another. There are some people that I haven't seen in months. And me being so busy as I am and as tired as I am, I'm just like, you know what? I haven't seen you in so long, but I cannot be driving around the city to visit you. So please, just let's come together in one central place so that we can, this once a week, so that, you didn't say a month, right? Okay. Once a week, and you know, that we can have fellowship together and that we can have times of encouragement. Guys, please hear me. All those who are online, encouragement, you cannot beat that. Encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. We need to be encouraged. It is not a solo thing. And a lot of us has fallen into that trap, you know, to say, oh, I don't need to go to church on a Sunday. It is so important to go to church on a Sunday. Very, very important. I'm not sure if we realize that whenever we take the Lord's Supper, what this means. Powerful stuff. We are literally proclaiming together what Jesus has done. It's a remembrance. We're proclaiming his death until he comes back. So it's very important for us to be able to take part in these emblems. A lot of times we see it as a little piece of bread. And oftentimes, sometimes we make the mistake of calling it juice. It is juice, but it's more than that. It's what it represents. Very, very powerful stuff. So let's, you know, Christian community is not optional. It is not optional, but essential. You see, we are a family. And I hope that we feel family. We're a family, but you know what? We're not perfect, are we? In a matter of fact, there is no perfect church. Because we are the church. I'm imperfect. You're imperfect. But just because we are not perfect does not give us an excuse to say, I'm not going to go, or I'm not going to be around my brothers and my sisters. You know, that if we do that, we're literally withholding our love from them. And as I said, some people I haven't seen in months. And then I said, you know what, I can't. I mean, I can't be driving everywhere. I just can't. You see the price of gas? I can't do it. I just don't have that physical anymore to be. I sleep more now, and you know, I need rest, you know, and I need to have times where I go away and just focus on the Lord so that I can revive myself, you know? So if you hear me, you know, Sunday is very, very important. You know, I said before that, you know, what we do here on Sunday, that it matters, but what we do apart from Sunday matters even more. You know, because what we learn here on a Sunday, we get revived so that we can bring it through the week, and we come back again and we get encouraged. So important. You know, but this is the way that God has designed it. You know, we are a body. You know? And, you know, sometimes, you know, say for instance, I'm a foot. Did I say that right? Foot, feet? I don't know. I'm a foot or a feet. You know, and I decide that, okay, I just don't want to be a part of the body anymore. You know, you'll still be a part of the body, but believe me, I'm going to start to walk funny. You know? I'm going to be doing some breakdance move or something like that, you know? You know, with no feet, you know? But the body is, you know, we are a body, very, very important. We're a body, we're a church. And as I said, we are not perfect. We will make mistakes. We have so much to figure out, don't we? Yeah. So much. We have so much to figure out about, man, how to love, you know, properly, you know, how to, where to go with this and how to view this and how to view that. I mean, we're going to do it together. We will do it together. But we cannot do it separately. Everybody needs to be here. That's the way that God designed it, so that we can be in community. Praise the Lord for all who is here. Amen. Praise the Lord for all who is here and continue to be here week after week after week. Never give up. I can count on my hand how many times in the last 34 years that I've missed Sunday service. I can count on my hand. That's how many times. Well, except for those times that I was away on holidays. But any other time, I was every Sunday. Because I know, you know, what Jesus has called me to. I know that he has called me to encourage my brothers and my sisters. I know. So therefore, I'm not going to neglect that responsibility. You know, we might not be evangelists or, you know, elders or all these different titles, Bible talk leaders or whatever. But believe me, God has called every single one of us to encourage one another, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and to see to it that none of us have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. You know, but again, there's some of us, you know, who will struggle. Some of us perhaps, you know, will have a different thinking, and we need to accept one another. We're working on this together. We need to accept one another. Never, ever push away somebody just because you might think that they're off the rails or whatever. You know, but, you know, we need to come together, and we need to figure this thing out. But remember, the most important thing is that we love one another. Amen? Yeah. You see, the church is God's primary tool for growth and protection. That's how it's going to be done. You know, that's how we are going to grow. You know, only if we are, you know, we are around one another to help one another. We're, you know, sure, you know, we can go off, you know, and oftentimes we need to do this. We need to have sometimes little retreats where we go and get refreshed. And Jesus did that all the time. And we saw in one of the scriptures where he literally went and he hid himself from them. And he went to solitary places where he prayed. And he got up early in the morning when it was still dark and he went up to pray to God. He needed those times. And, you know, come Jesus, come back to the village. You know, people, they want to hear you preach again. And he's just like, nope, I need to go somewhere else so that I can preach the gospel. You know, he prioritized, you know, his life, you know, and we need to do the same thing. But never forget, you know, what we've been called to. All this is discipleship. Okay, it's all this a part of our discipleship. It's all a part of our walking with Jesus, walking with the Father. Amen? You know, community is where love becomes visible. It literally is. Where love becomes visible. If you're not in community, I mean, somebody might say something to you in that community, and then what are you going to do? Are you going to get upset? Or are you going to show grace? You know, if there's some kind of unforgiveness, are you going to reconcile or not reconcile? You see, it's all about community. It's all about community. Our Christian life cannot be displayed any other way. And I understand there's churches all over the place, and they have their own little community. But we're all in this together. You know, we can't be everywhere all at once. Right? You know, but this is how we are, you know, going to fulfill, you know, our discipleship. So loving God is inseparable from loving people. You cannot separate it. Discipleship. Yeah. My next point. Thank you. You're welcome, sister. The cost of lordship. So let's read in John 12, verses 12 through 19. Sorry, one second there. Sorry, guys. Give me a second there. Okay. That's why I'm in the wrong chapter. John 12, verses 12. Okay, it says, the next day, the great crowd that had come from the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he had called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed the sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. So we see here, you know, Jesus going into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. You know, and for me, this is one of the most bizarre, you know, scriptures in the Bible. You know, because one minute you see everybody is like shouting. And they're saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Man, you know what? They actually, these guys knew who Jesus was. They were expecting a Savior. They were expecting their Lord. You know, it's Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? It means, Lord, save us. They were literally singing a song. It's from Psalm 118. They were literally singing Psalm 118 to Jesus. And they were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And these guys were ready, man. They were ready for change. They were ready. You know, they were ready to fight. They were ready to take up the sword. You know, but they did not realize, or they conveniently pushed aside. Wow! Didn't the scripture say that the servant of God had to suffer first? You know, they wanted the meat. You know, they wanted to say, no, give us the victory right now. We are being oppressed by the Romans. We want them out. You know, we want them gone. You know, they would have read, you know, the scripture, you know, that talks about that Jesus, that, you know, that he's going to rule with an iron scepter, and he's going to rule righteously and justly. And Israel, once again, you know, will be on top. You know, that's what was in their heads. And oftentimes we wonder, why did they do that? 5 days later, you know, all we see is crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate tries to let him go. But they shouted all the more, crucify him, crucify him. You know, because they didn't want a Lord that was beaten up and that was weak, you know, seemed weak at the time. They saw all the things that he did before. But when they saw his state, And the state that he was in, they're just like, no, crucify him. This is not what we expected. You know, that's why on the cross they were saying, you know, come down from the cross. Come down. If you come down, I will believe you. We've seen what you've done before. We've seen you feed how much thousands of people with 12 loaves and 7 fish, you know. But now we want you to come down from the cross. And if you come down, then we will believe you. You know, they were expecting a Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, in the name of Yahweh. They knew who Jesus was, but they still crucified him. They got rid of him. You know, and we know that God, you know, he allowed it to happen because this was how our sins could be paid for. This is why today we have community. You know, we see it as trivial, don't we? Oh yeah, I'm going to 140 Main Street, and I'm gonna see my same brothers and sisters that I've been seeing for the last 20 years. It's no big deal. We see it as that, but to God, he does not see it the same. You know what I mean? God, you know, he expects us to come together and to remember his son. There's no human being that was greater than the Son of God. Amen? No human being that was greater than him. No man. What he's done for us? Man, what more could we ask for? And as I said before, you know what? In a lot of some other congregations, man, there'll be people saying, praise the Lord. There'll be people who are just like, literally, like, because this is exciting stuff. Yeah. It's the best news ever. You know, that since the day that we were saved, but God wants us to be able to meet together in friendship to him and in friendship to one another. And to remember his son. This is the main point of even us meeting together, brothers and sisters, is to be able to take part in the emblems. You know, the bread that we take representing the body that was broken. You know, the fruit of the vine that we take that represents his blood. This is why we meet together. It really is a celebration. You know, so as we take it, please, if there's anybody that you have not forgiven, you need to forgive. If there's anything that's not right in your life, we need to make a decision to make it right. Because Jesus' blood is powerful and is willing to wash away all of our sins. But we cannot take it in an unworthy manner. Amen? You know, the unworthy manner is when we don't treat each other correctly. That's the unworthy manner that he's talking about. So it's the way that we treat one another. You know, whether or not we withhold ourselves from each other and don't encourage one another. You know, these are the unworthy things that, you know, that Jesus talked about. It's all about, you know, loving, you know, one another and accepting that lordship is friendship, you know, with Jesus. And again, you know, we think of the word Lord, we think of something that is, oh my gosh, I don't like nobody to be a Lord over me. You know, we accept Jesus's lordship, but at times we don't really understand, you know, what that lordship means, you know, but simply it just means, you know, that we walk alongside God really in friendship. Amazing. We are friends. We're not just servants, but we are friends. And today, brothers and sisters, we're here to celebrate. And as I said, every single service that we have, this is the main, what should I say? Main core. Or this is the main event, is remembering Jesus. And it needs to be something special. And perhaps even as we go on in our worship, perhaps we'll figure out even a way to make it even more special. You know, the communion. If there's anything that we can do, it's to have that communion because we are proclaiming his death until he returns. Amen? And for me, that is exciting. For me, that is relationship. For me, that is friendship with God. Amen? So as we take the communion, let us really focus our hearts and our minds and remember that in spite of everything else that I said, this is the most important. It's making sure that we have the right heart before God, and that we come before him in the right posture, and that we are filled with gratitude in our hearts. We remember Jesus' sacrifice. Remember how his body was beaten and bruised for us. This morning, I pray that we'll be filled with gratitude as we do this morning. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, that we can come before your awesome and amazing throne. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can come before you together as brothers and sisters in your amazing, amazing presence. Thank you, O Lord, that you're always with us. Thank you, Father in heaven, that it is always your will to bless our lives. You want to give us all good things. Thank you so much, O Lord, that these words that we read, you know, is not just words, but they are living and they are active and that they're sharper than any double-edged sword. And I pray, Father in heaven, that as we continue to train ourselves and to grow together as a community, I pray, O Lord, that all praise, glory, and honor belongs to you. I pray that as we take the emblems, the bread that represents the body of your son, the fruit of the vine that represents his blood, I pray, Father in heaven, that we will never take it in an unworthy manner, but that we will take it in a way that will bring glory and honor to you. We give you thanks, we give you the praise, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.